So now in chapter 12 that we've come to, we have the prophetic aspects that are connected with the second coming of Christ. And we have here the final siege of Jerusalem and the lifting of that siege. That's chapter 12. Now, in this chapter, Jerusalem is mentioned 10 times. In that day is mentioned 7 times. And these two really occur again and again. And actually, this is a mention of the day of the Lord that begins here with the great tribulation period, and it eventuates and goes into the millennial kingdom that the Lord Jesus will usher in when he comes. You see, the Antichrist brings in the great tribulation. The Lord Jesus brings in the millennium. And in that day that occurs 7 times here, and we'll note it as we move along in this particular section. Now, I want us to look at that expression, in that day, and Jerusalem here as we get into the chapter, because it has to do with that. Now, I want to spend again just a little time talking about the day of the Lord, though I have dealt with that a great deal in the minor prophets. But we have not exhausted the subject, I can assure you. And there's so much confusion today. Even as far back as 1951, I was in several summer conferences, and I was identified and associated with other ministers there, other Bible teachers. And that summer, I heard two of these men present a very hazy and indefinite and uncertain view of the day of the Lord. One of these men was specific, and he was very clear and accurate, that is, from my viewpoint and my judgment. But it occurred to me, even at that time, that if the pulpit is so fuzzy and foggy on this subject, what about the pew? Is there a clear-cut understanding of what the day of the Lord is? And what do you think of when you hear the expression, the day of the Lord? What do you think of? Is it clear in your own mind, even those of you that have been going through the Bible with us? Do you have a definite conception? Does it register? Does it click? Or is it just some nebulous and incoherent expression or phrase that just sort of like an umbrella, you can put it down over a great many things? And it can mean most anything to you. Sort of like the word glory. You hear people use the word glory. What does it mean to you? And there are people that say amen to something. What do they mean by it? Sort of like the Englishman, you know. He went into a restaurant in this country, and he'd just been over here a short time. And he asked the waitress, he says, "What kind of soup do you have?" And she started out by saying, "Well, we have bean." And he stopped her immediately. He says, "I don't care where you've been. I want to know what kind of soup you have." And then the preacher in the South years ago, and I think this is a great one, they had a business meeting, and he said, "Now we're going to call on the treasurer to present his report and let us know what the status quo of the church is." So one of the deacons got up. He says, "Mr. Preacher," he says, "I think you ought to explain to us what the status quo is." And he got up. He says, "Well, that's the Latin for the mess we're in." Well, friends, may I say to you, these expressions can mean different things to different people. Now, what does the day of the Lord mean? Well, it's an important expression. Actually, it occurs 18 times in Zechariah alone. And we've seen it in both the major and minor prophets. And Joel, well, that's the theme of his book. Malachi, that we're coming to next, he speaks of the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. In one sense, it's a theme of the Old Testament, one of the most important themes. And we want to break it down now, which I'd like to do. A day, what do you mean by day? And let's understand clearly, he's not talking about the Lord's day. The day of the Lord and the Lord's day are two different things. It's just like a chestnut horse and a horse chestnut. It's just like anti-fat and fat Annie. They're two different things. The Lord's Day and the Day of the Lord are two different things. And it's not a 24-hour day. Peter says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day." Now, the events that the prophets include in the Day of the Lord preclude the possibility of their happening in a 24-hour day. In fact, the tremendous things that will take place in the Great Tribulation have made some men actually reject it and ridicule that viewpoint, because they say you couldn't have that many crisis events in that brief time. Well, that was before we got actually to the 20th century. And U.S. News and World Report took the 10 years beginning with 1960 and the crisis events that took place in that brief period of time. And I don't think God will have any problem with it, because I tell you, there is a tremendous speeding up of crisis in the world today. Now, the Day of the Lord is a period of time. It includes the Great Tribulation period and the Millennial Kingdom, which means that it's over 1,000 years. Now, has the Day of the Lord come? Are we living in it? Well, the Old Testament closes with that day still in the future. And the Old Testament pointed on to, and the New Testament still anticipated it. Paul, you'll recall, in 1 Thessalonians, he makes it very clear that it was still in the future as far as he was concerned. For he wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." It had not come up to Paul, apparently. And there's nothing happened since then that would indicate that it has come. Now, the character of the Day of the Lord. It's a good day and it's a bad day. It's sort of like we've heard in recent months, "I got good news for you and I got bad news for you." Well, the thing is that the good news and bad news can come in one message. It's like that pilot on an Italian plane. He came on the air, and he introduced himself. He says, "We welcome you aboard the certain flight." He says, "Now I have some good news for you, and I have some bad news for you." And he says, "First of all, I'll give you the bad news." He says, "We've lost contact with the ground. Our entire radar has gone out, and we have no radio contact. In fact, we don't know now where we are." That's the bad news. Now he says, for the good news, he says, "We're making good time." Well, may I say to you that the Day of the Lord is good news and bad news. The bad news first, the Great Tribulation. The good news next, the Millennial Kingdom. And both features are going to be emphasized now, beginning here in the 12th chapter. Zechariah will emphasize them. He'll give you the bad news. In verse 2, he says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the peoples round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all peoples. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the nations of the earth be gathered together against it." Now, that's the bad news. Well, there's some good news coming, because you go over to the 14th chapter, verse 8, "And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem," and so on. Good news is coming also. Bad news, good news. Now, in the 12th chapter, we're going to be dealing with the bad news. Now, here we have the final siege of Jerusalem and the lifting of that siege. Now, we're in a very important section as we come here to the 12th chapter of Zechariah for several reasons. The primary reason that this is such an important section, number one, is that we must fit these prophecies into a program, because it's quite obvious that Zechariah is presenting a program here. In the 11th chapter, he first showed us that the true shepherd, the one that gave his life for the sheep, he's rejected. And in fact, sold for 30 pieces of silver. How cheap. But our redemption was not purchased with silver or gold, but the precious blood of Christ. And what a cheap price he was sold for in that day. And we have that. The true shepherd is rejected. Then there comes along the worthless shepherd. Now that shepherd we identified as being the Antichrist. That after the church is removed, after this interval in which the true shepherd is being presented to the world as the one who gave his life for the sheep, why, we come now to the time when the worthless shepherd will present himself and he will be accepted, and he brings in the great tribulation, not the millennium, and we find that Jerusalem, which is to become the capital of the earth where Jesus will reign someday in the millennium, why, we find this city under attack by Antichrist and how it will be delivered. Therefore, that makes this important. Now, the second reason that this section is so important, that this prophetic area right through here is rejected more today by the expositors, even some so-called conservative expositors. They won't face up to it that you have a panoramic program presented here of God's purposes with this world and Israel in the future. It's a sad thing to say, but it's true. And then we have some men that are certainly called fundamentalists, but they border on the sensational, and they lift certain statements out of this section here, which I don't think you can do. I don't think it's honest to just lift out a passage and try to fit it into today when it has to do with the future. It's in this program that he's presenting. Now, we have, therefore, the great tribulation presented to us, and Jerusalem under siege. And this is the time that Jeremiah called it, the time of Jacob's trouble. And Daniel wrote concerning it in the 12th chapter of Daniel. And by the way, the reference in Jeremiah is the 30th chapter, and you ought to read all of that section, especially verses 5 through 7. And Daniel in the 12th chapter, verse 1, wrote, "A time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time." And the Lord Jesus himself spoke of this. He identified it. He himself labeled it the Great Tribulation. He said that had been nothing like it before, there would be nothing like it afterward, and except those days were shortened, no flesh would survive.